The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Different questions tonight. They're all legit. I'm telling you, we're going to get this done. It doesn't matter when. It doesn't matter whether it's in 6 minutes, 6 days, or 6 weeks. We're going to get it done.
6 minutes, 6 days, or 6 weeks. 666, the number of the beast, says the illegitimate president of the United States. On this program, we only give you the prophetically significant stories, don't we? Here is wisdom. He that understands, count the number of the beast, 666. Well, of course, that's not what this is, but I meant to play that clip yesterday. Didn't have the time for it, but strange indeed that he would choose those three numbers. You're listening to Stephen Flurry, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We're certainly grateful that you're joining our growing audience, whether for the live stream of the program or for the podcast that we post later at our website, thetrumpet.com. You can get to the live stream of this show every day at our website, thetrumpet.com, or just go to thetrumpet.com/live, where we have the stream and also the podcast that we post a couple of hours afterward, if possible here. Hopefully Sam can zoom in on the tie. This comes from one of our viewers. It's got a bunch of sheep, as you can see there. The sheeple tie, we use that term from time to time on this show. So today is the day for the sheeple tie. Be careful as you zoom out not to get too much of my chin, Sam. But there it is, one of our lovely viewers who watches this program. And speaking of sheeple, how about this? This is the new board game, the runaway sensation, Sheeple. It says here, the best game in the U, that's E-W-E, the best game in the U-niverse. I'm anxious to play this. If you come and stay at our home, make this simple request. Let's play the board game Sheeple. Not sure how that it works, but someone saw that on Amazon or wherever and thought it was pretty funny, and so that came in recently. Also, one of these, this has gotten me through a lot of hard times. You can see here, Filthy Fauci. This is soap, body soap there. You can see there, if you can zoom in on it, there it is. Filthy Fauci, that comes from one of our listeners in Washington. Sorry, Hawaii, I think it is. Filthy Fauci hand soap. So there you go. Wash your hands. Make sure you mask up. We're living during these days of pandemic. In any event, I've had a few humorous things. There's always a moment or two for some levity on this show, and I've had some of these humorous things stacking up. So I thought that today would be the day that I could thank some of you for your sense of humor as well. All right, let's return to, in all seriousness, let's return to Joe Biden. He's commenting yesterday, I think it was Peter Ducey who asked him about, they can't get this massive $1 trillion spending, two of them, in fact, to go through because of two Democrat senators, Senator Sinema from Arizona and Manchin from West Virginia. And so these radical leftist Democrats are harassing these senators, following them around, going to Manchin's houseboat on these little kayaks, shouting them down. And then they've done the same with Senator Sinema, who left D.C., went to her other job at Arizona State University, I think it is. It's at some university. And then if you've seen some of the footage, there's these demonic, really, these left-wing activists that follow this woman right into the bathroom, right up to the bathroom stall, and they're filming the entire episode and harassing her and telling her, you better vote for this massive infrastructure bill that has nothing to do with infrastructure. You better vote for it.
And so a reporter asked Joe Biden about this yesterday and thought, you know, is this what the Democrats should be doing to their own? She's a Democrat. And listen to Joe Biden's response. This is clip two.
Senator Sinema last night was chased into a restroom. Do you think that those tactics are crossing a line?
I don't think they're appropriate tactics, but it happens to everybody. From the the only people it doesn't happen to are people who have Secret Service standing around them. So it's part of the process. Yeah.
Happens to everybody. It's all part of the process. Now think for a moment what the reaction would be, not just among Democrats, but the propagandists in the media. If someone on January 6th, if someone with a camera follows Nancy Pelosi into the bathroom stall or to the bathroom stall, or AOC. AOC, remember, she was traumatized. She was a half mile away from the protest. She started talking about how she feared for her life. She thought she was going to be raped. That's how they responded to January 6th. If someone followed a prominent Democrat into the bathroom and filmed it on January 6th, be assured they would be in jail to this day. That's the truth. There's people still in jail for doing nothing more than taking selfies or walking around monuments on the perimeter there of the Capitol. But this, says Joe Biden, hey, this is normal. This is not, it happens to everybody. It's all part of the process. If you're a rabid, radical, communist, left-wing protester harassing people, shouting them down, threatening them, that's fine. I mean, that is free speech. But if it's on the other side, it's very, very dangerous. Merrick Garland, he heads up the, he's the attorney general. And he released this statement yesterday. I mean, this is unbelievable, this statement. This is from yesterday, October 4. And he says here, in recent months, there has been a disturbing spike in harassment, intimidation, and threats of violence against school administrators, board members, teachers, and staff who participate in the vital work of running our nation's public schools. He's talking about some of these open forums before public school teachers, before the school boards, where you've had angry parents denouncing the critical race theory or the mask mandates. And here is the attorney general, your attorney general, if you're an American, saying it's dangerous for these parents to speak. It's dangerous for these parents to get up on in front of the microphone and to use their 60 seconds, that's about all that they have, to tell the school board, we're tired of this. We're tired of them being, our children are being brainwashed. Our children, if they're white 5-year-olds, they're being told that they're racist, that they're the problem of the United States. Or we're tired of them having to mask up. So here comes the attorney general. Remember, he sent out those threats when the Arizona audit was going on. You better be careful, you auditors. And it worked, the intimidation. As the auditors, cyber ninjas, all those involved, they watered down that final report. They came in with the lead paragraph saying, you know what, we've counted everything, and you'll be happy to know that the count is the same as the machine count. Well, what about the fraudulent votes? That's all that matters here. What about the votes that are illegal? There's tens of thousands of them. Who's going to do something about that? Well, Attorney General Garland, he's already spoken. If you do anything about that, I mean, we've got the full force of the DOJ coming after you. Here he's threatening parents. Parents who are just getting up and saying, I don't approve of what this school is teaching my children. You know how many times Merrick Garland mentions threats? Where are the threats? Where are the examples? He mentions the word threat or threats 7 times in these, 5 paragraphs. In his mind, these parents, these moms, are a grave danger. I mean, they're right up there with the Taliban. Well, I guess the Taliban's one of our allies now, so I have to make that. Al-Qaeda. They're right up there with Al-Qaeda. It says here, threats again. Well, let me back up. While spirited debate about policy matters is protected under the Constitution, that protection does not extend to threats of violence. Threats of violence. Meanwhile, these Democrat crazies can follow senators into the bathroom, on the plane, at the D.C. airport when she returns. Here she's accosted by this illegal immigrant on the plane flight from Arizona back to D.C., and the immigrant says, yeah, I voted for you, so you better stand up for us. She's basically admitting she voted illegally. That's no problem. That's not a big deal. Harassing the senator, not a big deal. But boy, it's a big deal if grandma goes into the Capitol because the law enforcement opened the doors and she takes a selfie. Now that's dangerous. It's a big deal if a mom who's tired of critical race theory, which has been debunked by scholars already, if a mom speaks up and says, enough, enough. Or if another teacher maybe resigns in protest. Nobody's threatened these school boards. Nobody's threatened these school officials. But here comes another boogeyman created by the radical left. There's dangers everywhere. And you know where everywhere is? It's the Republican Party. It's conservatives, Trump supporters. That's it. And meanwhile, you've got all these enemies of the United States rising, just waiting for the oncoming civil war so that they can pounce on America. They are rubbing their hands together. They are celebrating at the demise of our nation. You've got these reports now of all these, an increasing number of Americans that want secession. They want to see the red states split apart, or they want to see the blue states split apart from the red. Has America ever been this divided since the 1860s? And who has been telling you along the way? We can go back to trumpet magazines from the 1990s, pointing to Abraham Lincoln, a house divided cannot stand. Of course, he was quoting from Jesus Christ. And we talked at length on that subject 20, 25 years ago, preparing you for where we are now. When we talked several years ago about the oncoming civil war, about America splitting apart, it might have seemed far-fetched. It might have seemed like we were exaggerating for effect, or that it was just hyperbole. Look, and now look at these studies today, these polls. Americans more and more saying, you know what? I think, we don't have any other means with which to stand up and protest. Now they're going to crack down on the moms? Well, that's what Merrick Garland says. He says again, threats against public servants are not only illegal, they run counter to our nation's core values. Threats, except if they come from the communists. It's all right for that. They can behead a statue or tear down the statue or act as if they're stabbing Donald Trump during his administration. That's not considered threatening at all. It's just when it comes from their political opponents. I mean, this is sickening stuff. It's dangerous stuff. It's leading to an explosion of violence. That's the seriousness of it. Threats against public servants, those who dedicate their time and energy, these public servants. It says the department takes these incidents seriously and is committed to using its authority and resources to discourage these threats, again, he says, identify them when they occur, and prosecute them when appropriate. I mean, they've shown they will prosecute you for taking pictures. They'll prosecute you for congregating around monuments. Just 2 seconds ago, it was fine to pull down the monuments if you're the communist left. Nothing threatening about that. Happened all last year. And if it wasn't coming from Antifa and some of these communist left groups, then it was coming from city officials later, like in Richmond, who just thought, you know what, let's just go ahead and take Robert E. Lee down so it doesn't become a problem later. And they quietly submit to the mob. It says here, in coming days, the department will announce a series of measures designed to address the rise in criminal conduct directed toward school personnel. Now here's the grave danger. It's the school boards pushing critical race theory. They're coming under threat from the moms, the mothers of America. Says here, coordination and partnership with local law enforcement is critical to implementing these measures. for the benefit of our nation's nearly 14,000 public school districts. To this end, Merrick Garland says, I am directing the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Here comes the FBI. Maybe they'll use the same agents that were there on September 18th, trying to stir up another protest gone awry. The FBI, just so thoroughly discredited, a political arm of the Democrat wing. That's all that it is now. Just a few years ago, you had conservative commentators talking about the corruption at the very top, at the rank and file. I mean, they're spot on. There's no political bias there. I don't hear too many people talking about that anymore. Here comes the rank and file FBI agents to go after the moms at these school board meetings where they get just, what, 60 seconds to voice their opinion? Where are the examples of threatening behavior? There are none. He cites none in this brief statement. And yet over and again, he mentions threat. They're threatening people. They're threatening teachers. They're threatening board members. It says here, working with the United States Attorney, the FBI that is, to convene meetings with federal, state, local, tribal, and territorial leaders in each federal judicial district within 30 days of the issuance of this memorandum. These meetings will facilitate the discussion of strategies for addressing threats against school administrators, board members, teachers, and staff, and will open dedicated lines of communication for threat reporting. You can report the threats, and we'll go after mama. We'll go after those mothers. Just report the threats, and we'll take care of it. We at the DOJ and the FBI. It says the department is steadfast in its commitment to protect all people in the United States from violence, threats of violence, and other forms of intimidation and harassment. Except if that intimidation and harassment is brought on by the communist left. In that case, it's perfect. It's perfect. Like Joe Biden said, it's part of the process. Yeah, everybody gets this. It's normal. It's normal. This is straight out of Saul Alinsky's battle plan. You know, the book that he dedicated to Lucifer. This is how the communist left make great gains. They're guilty of exactly what they're criticizing their opponents of. We see it yet again. Harassment, threatening behavior. It happened all during the Trump years. It happened just over the weekend with Senator Sinema. And she's a left-winger herself. But she's not on board with the $1.5 trillion and the $3.5 trillion that the communists want attached to the $1.5. AOC, Bernie, all of them, they've got to get what they want. If they don't get it, well, they'll come after you and threaten you and harass you, but that's okay. If it forces that bill through, that's all that they want. The ends justify the means. It's like I said yesterday, these people running the United States of America at the moment, they hate the United States of America. They hate their political opponents. They hate the founding documents of this land. They hate the traditions. The traditions of America, and they're working to undermine, in fact, to undermine the rule of law, even with this memorandum yesterday released by Merrick Garland, to go after people where there's no criminal behavior. Where is there? One example. I haven't watched them all, but if there is one, well, fine. If someone crossed the line, seems like local law enforcement would take care of that just fine. But here comes the DOJ. Here comes the FBI. They're the ones undermining the rule of law, and you see it everywhere that you look. Agitating for a race war, agitating for civil war. Look at the past year. This is from PJ Media. Nationwide data from the FBI reveals that last year the number of murders rose by 29%. That's in the United States of America, 29%, not 2.9%. the number of murders rose by almost a third. Drug overdose deaths increased 30%. And the number of gang-related killings skyrocketed more than 55%. This is what happens when you handcuff law enforcement. This is what happens when you defund the police. It says, to put this carnage into context, a 29% increase in murder isn't simply bad. It's the worst single-year increase in American history. It's the worst single-year increase in American history, and the Attorney General of the United States is unleashing the FBI on parents who are upset about critical race theory or mask mandates. Parents! Similarly, it says, the drugs flooding into our communities aren't only deadly. They are the deadliest drugs ever sold. For the first time ever, over 100,000 Americans lost their lives to drugs and homicide in 2020. First time in American history, 2020, over 100,000 Americans. And yet all that we heard last year, COVID, 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 lockdown, lockdown, lockdown. And hey, we got to burn down the cities to get people's attention. It's justified, the looting, the burning. It's justified. The words, you talk about threatening violence. They didn't just threaten it last year. They did it. They carried out all of this criminal behavior on the streets of America. And where was the DOJ? I mean, at the time, it was under Bill Barr. Where was the DOJ? Where was the FBI? Merrick Garland says what? He says, hey, the DOJ, this department is steadfast in its commitment to protect all people of the U.S. from violence, threats of violence, and other forms of intimidation and harassment even. That came out yesterday because of the moms who are upset. Not last year, because of the cities going up in flames. It came out, this statement, this memorandum comes out yesterday because of moms who are upset about critical race theory or the fact that their five-year-old has to wear a mask to school. Play that video of, what was it, number six.
I wear a mask to school. I wear a mask to school. Hi ho the Dario, I wear a mask to school. It keeps my friends safe. It keeps my friends safe. Hi ho the Dario, it keeps my friends safe. And let me see a hooray! Put your hands up in the air!
The little sheeple, hooray, hooray, hooray for the masks. I tried to shorten that cringeworthy clip, by the way, just so you wouldn't have to listen to too much of it. Here's a teacher. Oh, the masks, they're perfect! And all these little children, the little five-year-olds, trying to adjust them, putting their hands, you know, near their nose and their mouth because they have to move the masks around. It's for health, right? It's to prevent COVID from spreading. And singing along. This communist instructor trying to brainwash all of these little children. These are not normal times we're living in. The world is upside down. It's upside down. We got into some of those examples yesterday. People dying because of the vaccine. You don't hear enough about it because, well, big tech, the communist media, they don't want to. They want to blot it out. They don't want you to hear about this Emmy winner. He was just on the Emmy. Remember the maskless Emmys event from just a couple weeks ago? Bridgerton, there's the headline. Bridgerton Emmy winner Mark Pilcher dies of COVID at 53. And you read into the story, and of course, it's not about the vaccine. He's been double jabbed. He went to the let's leave the vaccine out of it for a moment. He goes to the Emmys, and the local officials there in Los Angeles say, you know, because California has some of the strictest laws respecting social distancing, wearing the mask, lockdown, and so on. But the Emmys, All the important people, they squeezed into this tiny little venue. Nobody had a mask on. It even shocked some of the celebrities. Nobody wore a mask except for the servants. I mean, they're dangerous. They could spread the disease, but not the rich and famous. They're immune, I guess. So he goes to that award ceremony. 2 weeks later, he's dead. He goes to the maskless event. You remember how they reacted to that Trump rally when Herman Cain came away from that a few weeks later and he died? Oh, it was a super spreader. It's a super spreader, don't you know, if it's in little Tulsa. If it's in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and it's Trump supporters, it's dangerous. But if it's Barack Obama's birthday bash, that's fine. If it's the Emmys, that's fine. These hypocrites, they have one standard for you and another for them. There's the teacher telling the five-year-olds, you've got to wear a mask. You've got to wear a mask. Nobody can resist. Nobody can protest it. And now even the moms, if they speak up at a board meeting, at an open house for parents to speak, they better be careful, because the DOJ is looking over their shoulder. They're looking for any kind of threatening statement. Seven times, Merrick Garland, threats. Threats, this is very concerning. It's dangerous. These threats, this intimidation, this harassment. America's under attack. Full on, it's under attack. No doubt about it. Listen to this clip from, well, I played it for you yesterday. I guess I don't need to play it again. Walensky there, where she was saying, you know, you see the brainwashing of little five-year-olds. Then you have Rochelle Walensky. She's coming out with her statement. She's representing the CDC saying, yeah, look, yeah, the jab is good for all pregnant mothers. I mean, they've got a lot of opinions about what pregnant mothers should and should not consume. Alcohol, no. Smoking, no. I mean, they even go so far as you know, pasteurized milk. You better drink that. You don't want to drink raw milk. That's dangerous. I mean, they have no idea what they're talking about with respect to health. But, you know, like the guys were pointing out to me after the show yesterday, you get into these pregnancy books, stay away from fumes, from paint. You don't want to inhale it even. Just stay away from it. Otherwise, your child is in danger. But this toxic spike protein, just put it into your body. No big deal. What a dangerous time we're living in. Listen to this expose. This is, again, Project Veritas exposing Pfizer. These are people working at Pfizer who acknowledge that, look, if you've had COVID, the antibodies are stronger. They're much stronger than this vaccine we've put together. Why doesn't the propaganda media get into this? The answer is they're part of the problem. Here's another expose from Project Veritas, clip 3.
So your antibodies are probably better at that point than the vaccination.
The vaccination. Yeah, he admits it. It's better than the vaccination. Listen to what else was revealed in this expose, clip 7.
Basically, our organization is run on COVID money now.
How so?
It netted like over $15 billion last year.
That's a Pfizer rep saying that his organization is run by COVID money right now. Now, Pfizer was a pretty big company before the pandemic came along. But now he set $15 billion? Before the pandemic, nobody even heard of Moderna. That's another one that's produced one of these vaccines, these toxic substances. Now Moderna, their stock price, what was it? It went from like $30 to $330 just in the last year. There's a lot of people getting rich because of these vaccines. And you have to wonder even about insider trading and all of these politicians, all of these experts, they knew the virus itself was engineered. And then there was the rush to produce the vaccine. if you know how the system works, if you know anything about Big Pharma, if you know anything about the help and the cover you're going to be provided by the communist propaganda media, what a boon this has been. No wonder they're applying so much pressure. Do you think they're concerned about that 37-year-old mother who died from the vaccine in Oregon? Of course not. They just want you to get the jab. It's billions more for Pfizer. It's put Moderna on the map.
There was a health official or one that worked in the industry who spoke with Sam, our producer, recently, talking about all the money that's even come into his medical system. COVID funding from the government. How much of this just comes right down to the billions and billions of dollars? There's a Pfizer rep, and I'm sure CNN could care less. I don't know for sure. I don't watch it. But do you think CNN is really getting into a Pfizer rep saying that Pfizer is run by COVID money? It's just COVID money. It's all COVID money. Well, the shots, they're free. They're not free. They cost a fair bit of money, and the government pays for it. They just print off trillions and trillions of dollars. Same with the next financial aid package. $1.5 trillion, no problem. Now, we want to piggyback on top of that, $3.5 trillion. That's no problem either. In fact, the total cost, this is from the fake Biden administration, the total cost for all these packages, these spending bills, $0. It doesn't cost anything. We can just keep printing. In some ways, what they're saying is true, because they just print the money. They just go deeper into debt. And that's the way that they think. Nobody, we're never going to have to pay this off. Forget about the fact that our children are saddled with this kind of debt. Just give us what we want. If you don't, we'll harass you. We'll follow you right into the restroom. We'll harass you on the plane flight. That's normal. That's standard. That's to be expected. Happens all the time, says Joe Biden. There's nothing unusual about that. It's all part of the process. Well, what a process it is. Fundamentally transforming the United States of America, just as Barack Obama said back in 2008. And who can deny that we are right in the midst of a massive fundamental transformation of the United States of America. If you haven't requested this booklet yet, make sure that you call our operators today and ask for America Under Attack. It's toll-free, the number here in the United States or Canada or the Caribbean, 1-866-930-3024. If you'd like to email the program, you can send feedback to td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. Freedom is one of the most sought-after ideals in human history. Man's search for freedom has taken him into the fiercest of protests, struggles, revolutions, civil wars, and even world wars. Today, in the midst of free societies, many continue to fight for what they perceive as ever greater freedoms. And yet, many of these same people are actively fighting against law. Few people understand that this war against law actually undermines true freedom. To learn more, request Gerald Flurry's booklet, No Freedom Without Law. In this free booklet, you will see what the Bible says about the latter-day spirit of rebellion and lawlessness that is now so common in our nations today. Also request America Under Attack. In this booklet, you will learn more about the spirit behind this attack on law. You'll see where this is leading. Both booklets are offered freely at no cost or obligation to you. Request No Freedom Without Law and America Under Attack. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
We've noted a number of times before how that when preparing Mystery of the Ages in that last year of his life, Herbert Armstrong wrote it back in 1985, that one reason he felt compelled to write it, even though his eyesight was nearly gone, he was into his 90s, his health wasn't so good, but God was really impressing upon his mind, right there at the end of his physical life, that God is not trying to save this world. He's not trying to save this world. Not now. There's no contest going on between God the Father. There's no contest going on between God and Satan the devil over how many souls that can possibly be saved before it's too late. That's a common teaching in the traditional world of Christianity. You got to get saved now before it's too late. This is a quote from The Incredible Human Potential, another book that Mr. Armstrong wrote back in the 1970s. He said, "It is significant and generally unrealized that neither Jesus nor the apostles embarked on any soul-saving crusade, which is a modern Protestant practice. It says the apostles, as Jesus had done, proclaimed the gospel, the good news of the coming better world. It was not an emotional pleading. Won't you give your heart to the Lord?" You don't see that kind of language or instruction when they're preaching in Acts 2 or elsewhere in the New Testament. You got to give your heart to the Lord before it's too late. Now, when people heard the sermons and they said, you know, what should we do? Their hearts were pricked, as that, just to use that Acts 2 example. And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized. If your hearts are pricked, do something about this. But look at the vast, I mean, I know a lot of you that watch this show. You have hearts, some of you, that are being pricked. Some of you told me at the Feast of Tabernacles that it was something said on this program that finally motivated you to act on the truth. Before that, you were just hearers, hearers only, and not doers. But when you act on God's truth, amazing things happen. That doesn't mean you're not going to be persecuted or that it's an easy road to go. When you commit to God, you're going to get a lot of resistance, no doubt, from family and friends, maybe from the employer. But when God comes into your life, well, you're on the winning side. You are on the winning side. But there's so few. It's just a little flock. A little flock of sheep, like what's on my tie right here. Here's a case where it's good to be sheep, as long as we're following the shepherd, as long as we're following the bridegroom's voice, as it says over in John 3. In this case, it's good to go along with God's family, to be of the same mind, as long as it's God's mind. Like 1 Corinthians 1 says, is Christ divided, Paul wrote? Is Christ divided into hundreds of Christian denominations? Or is there the one body of Christ, or the one body that is the church? Well, you're going to have to do some studying. Mystery of the Ages is a good place to start. 1 Corinthians 12 speaks of the body of Christ. Coming back to this point, though, Mr. Armstrong realized, okay, there's no contest going on. From the very beginning of human civilization, God cut man off from the tree of life and his Holy Spirit. And it says it there plainly in Genesis 3, 22 through 24. God drove out the man. God cut man off from the tree of life. The whole world has been cut off from God's truth since, except for the few that God has called out of this world to further his purpose, to carry out his plan. Jesus Christ needs a bride. He needs a helpmeet to help him bring other children into the God family. Notice Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, the world views God's plan of salvation as this tug-of-war struggle between God and the devil. But like Mr. Armstrong explained, if that is the truth, then Satan's winning. How could you deny that? Satan's winning. Look at this world. Look at how many people have never even heard of Jesus Christ. Or maybe they've heard of him, but they've certainly never looked into their Bibles. They haven't established contact with God. They're not praying earnestly every day like God says that we should. I gave a forum this morning to the students, just going through basic scriptures. Jesus saying, when you pray, and then in that same outline, he says, pray that this day God gives you your daily bread. So obviously the admonitions there are to pray daily. And then you talk about praying effectually and fervently. Or you go to the night before Christ was crucified, and he says to his disciples, would you just pray with me for 1 hour? 1 hour, most people would say. Are you crazy? I'm not going to talk to God for an hour. I mean, I'll talk to a friend. I'll talk to someone that comes over to the house for a party. That's not a problem. But talking to God on my knees, praying for an hour, are you crazy? I'm too busy for that. I've got too much to do. Well, that's just the way that most people think, but not God's people. God's family. God's family is a close, tight-knit, unified body. They talk to God regularly. And it's not even about putting in just the time. It's the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man that avails much. That's what your Bible says. James 5. Read it. Verse 16, 17 in there. We want to draw near to our Maker. When we bring God into it, great things happen. My father made that comment at the Feast of Tabernacles. Now that's a statement you can take and run with. When you bring God into it, miraculous things happen. Wonderful things happen. Notice Acts 10 here, verse 42. It says, and he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. Verse 43, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name, speaking of Christ, whosoever believes in him shall receive remission of sins. Through his name, believing in him, following in his steps, as other verses say. There's another verse in Acts 4, verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other name, that is the name of Christ, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So it's only by that name, the name of Jesus Christ. Now, just think for a moment about the tens of billions of human beings who have lived and died over the course of human civilization. They've been out there living their lives out and in the flesh, and they never did even know about the name of Jesus Christ. Is there hope for them in God's plan and purpose? Does God's plan of salvation shut them out because they happen to live maybe in a communist country? Because they happen to live under some other religion that knows nothing of God the Father and Christ the Son and the name of Jesus Christ? Is there no hope for them? Well, I don't know how the traditional Christian world would explain that, but I know how the Bible explains it. I know what the Bible says about it. The Bible says there is hope for them. The Bible says they will have an opportunity. And of course, that tremendous hope-filled vision is wrapped up in what God calls the last great day. The last great day when all who've ever lived will be resurrected to physical life and have an opportunity to participate in God's plan and become familiar with the name of Jesus Christ and become familiar with the gospel that Jesus Christ proclaimed. God doesn't shut anyone out, except for the ones who shut themselves out because of stubbornness and rebellion, because of their refusal to accept the name and the example and the teachings of Jesus Christ. Even when they've been given opportunity to accept it, they refuse. They're too hard and stubborn. Hopefully that won't amount to too many people, but there obviously are those that just walk away from God and his family plan and lose out on this magnificent plan of salvation because of the hardness of their hearts, because of the stubbornness of their minds. Matthew 1 and verse 21 says, Jesus shall save his people from their sins. God has a plan that includes everyone who's ever lived. God is not so weak that he can't do anything about those people that have lived over the course of these 6,000 years. Those people that have lived and died physically without even any knowledge of Jesus Christ. Well, I mean, look at the ones before Christ even came in the flesh 2,000 years ago. What about the people in the prophets' days? Malachi, Isaiah, David, I mean, the prophets of old, King David, Moses, they knew about the prophecies of the coming Messiah. But what about the average, ordinary person living in Persia or in Greece or in the heart of Europe or in Southeast Asia? Even the ancient Israelites, Moses said about them, oh, if they only had a heart to obey. They didn't have the Spirit of God. They didn't have God's heart. They didn't have the Holy Spirit. God raised up that ancient nation to show us that even under ideal circumstances physically, where you're all together, you've got righteous leadership, you know, the enemy nations are kept out, at least for a time. Even in ideal circumstances, unless you have the Spirit of God, you can't really know God. You can't really come to know His truth. Unless you have the tree of life, unless you're partaking of the tree of life regularly. Even ancient Israel, those Israelites of old, they're going to come up in that second resurrection and have an opportunity to learn God's way of life and to practice it, to put it into practice. You can see that in the Valley of the Dry Bones vision in Ezekiel 37. Such a wonderful, all-encompassing plan if you really delve into it and study the Bible and see what God has to say about all of mankind, about the time order of His family plan. 1 Timothy and chapter 2, 1 Timothy 2 and verse 3, it says, For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. You see, God's plan includes all men, who would have all men to be saved, as verse 4 says there. It includes everyone. God is God. He created us. He doesn't want anyone to fail in life. He has this plan. God's will is to have all men saved, to have all of them come to a knowledge of the truth, as we just read. It's a beautiful plan and purpose. It's one we need to really fixate on, especially as we see this world dying, as we see darkness descending on this world. Verse 5, it says, For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. See, he's the Savior of the world, as I've covered recently in that verse with in John's epistle, 1 John. Here, the Apostle Paul focuses in on the man, Jesus Christ. All of these apostles, they were just in awe of God's purpose. I've read to you before, John in 1 John 1 there, where he says, look, we've talked to this God being, God in the flesh. We talked to him, we handled him, we spent time with him. They loved him. And they just could not understand the depths of that level of sacrifice. For God to sacrifice, or rather to risk everything, to come in the flesh and to sacrifice all so that mankind could have a relationship with God and then be born into the family of God and live for all eternity in God's glorious kingdom. The man, Jesus Christ, regarding 1 John 1, where, as I say, John was just in awe of this tremendous sacrifice. My father said this in a 2017 article. He said, The disciples gazed upon, talked to, and handled the Word. Imagine what it would be like if God in the flesh just appeared and was standing before you, interacting with you. The Word was in heaven with God the Father before all creation and for all eternity, and John was astonished that this member of the Godhead was on earth interacting with them. The Word who became flesh, the one who is originally with God, as John 1:1 says, the source of all life. God created all things through the one who became Jesus Christ. And that being, the Word came in the flesh as the Savior of the world. That's awesome to think about a God being and how that God in the flesh was able to pay for all the sins of mankind, and how that purpose and plan includes everyone who's ever lived, that everyone, all of mankind, will have an opportunity to participate before it's all said and done so that they can choose. So that they can choose God's way of life. We're all free moral agents. We have to choose this way. We have to embrace it. We have to go with it. For those of us in God's church today, this is our opportunity. And God rewards us mightily because of our commitment to His way of life in this evil and dark age, the present evil world. The vast majority, though, will have their opportunity later during the wonderful world of tomorrow, the 1,000-year millennium, and then the great white throne judgment after that, when God resurrects all who've ever lived and have never known the name of Christ or the gospel that Jesus proclaimed or the purpose and plan of God. That's in your Bible. I can't get to all the scriptures in 20-some minutes. So, again, Mystery of the Ages is a great place to start. If you haven't requested that book yet, make sure that you request your free copy. Let me just go over to 1 John 5. This is verse 11. It says, "And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son." God has given to us eternal life. He wants to give us that gift. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. Life in the Son. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Believing on Him. God is no respecter of persons. There is a time order to His plan and purpose. But look, He loves all nations, all people, all ethnicities equally. And He wants to give everyone an opportunity to participate in His master plan. Verse 12 here, this is 1 John 5, it says, "He that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God has not life." See, what we have in this temporary physical frame or tabernacle, it's not really life, is it? It's just a little tiny, tiny taste, a foretaste of what God wants to give to all of mankind, eternal life. Immortality. But He's not going to give that awesome power, that eternally living livelihood, to someone who stubbornly refuses to obey the commands of God, which are there as a benefit and a blessing to mankind. God gives us His laws, His rules, His standards, so that we can obey them and experience the blessings that come with that obedience. Read Deuteronomy 30, verses 19 and 20. So simple. And yet why does man carry on, deluded by the thought, the teaching, in fact, in traditional Christianity, that the law is bad. The law needs to be set aside. Jesus kept it for you. That's not the teaching of the Bible. That's not true doctrine. That's false doctrine right there. Well, I don't have time to get over to 1 John 4. We'll start tomorrow's study with that one. But request Mystery of the Ages, toll-free number 866-930-3024. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.